today on Real Radio.
You can't be disgraced when you realize how much God loves you, that Jesus thought you precious enough, worthy enough, valuable enough to go to the cross. Theologically, I know it's true. I just have a hard time, but it's true. That if you would have been the only one, if you would have been Adam and or Eve, the two of you, he would have died on the cross for two people to redeem them back to the presence of the Father. That's how valuable you are.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the Book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the one who will come to deliver us. But its final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass. And that is how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 50, we learned the true value of asking a question. When a question is asked, there's always a reason behind it. There's something to be learned and an answer to be received. The Lord really does take great delight in talking with us. He has the answer to our greatest concerns in life. But here's the big question. Are we listening? So today on day 3 of chapter 50, part 2, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus went to the cross for you and me because we are valuable to him. You gotta admit, it's really mind-boggling that he loved us that much. Without praise, without conditions, and because he was God, Jesus endured the shame for us. And now continuing his lesson called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I'm a human like you're a human. It's easy for you to believe good things to be a blessing upon others, but you have a hard time receiving such a blessing upon yourself. Why? Because you know who you are. You know what you are. I know who I am. I know what I am. And so it's because of that where you and I, when we become aware of God's word, wow, it's kind of like a guy that's drowning out at sea, you know? Think about it. At first, the guy's out in the water swimming around, and he's doing fine because he has his strength. You can't save him because he doesn't want to be saved. He's swimming in the ocean. But then if he gets in peril, or he gets tired, or something happens, now he's very keenly aware of his mortality. Are you with me? He's not strong enough now to pull this off, and he starts reaching for help. But listen, if he's starting to go down, you better get help to him quick or else he won't recover. Are you with me? There's a brief moment of salvation, if you allow me to put it that way. There's a moment, there's a window. You can't save somebody who doesn't need saving. You can only save those who understand that they need saving, but by the time they understand that they need saving, they don't have many breaths left. Are you with me now? And so in all of our lives, we get out there, we live life, we got what's the old saying, the tiger by the tail or whatever that is. And what do the millennials say? Is it YOLO? YOLI? YOLO? What? You only live once? So like, you know, us older people say, we used to say, grab all the gusto you can, right? Or, you know, like the bumper on my bicycle or something said, if it feels good, do it. You know, all these humanistic stupid things. Well, what are we communicating? Man, I'm looking out for number one, man. Well, who might that be? Me. You know, it's the world. It's the way the world is. You can't save anybody like that. You can witness to them. In fact, we do witness to them, don't we? We tell them the gospel and they laugh at us. But we tell them anyway, because they won't always be treading water. They won't always be swimming. There'll come a time when they'll start sinking. And then there's that moment when you can reach them. But you got to reach them. Because if you don't reach them, listen, they'll be swallowed up. And a lot of Christians, they get saved, but they're bound. They got a life jacket on. They're saved. But they're still fixated about going down. I think I'm still going down. You're not going down. You have a life jacket on. You're saved. No, I think I'm going down. Condemnation will suck a person down. It can't kill them, but it will neutralize them. A lot of Christians today are being robbed by condemnation. They're not walking in the freedom that Christ has given to them because they keep thinking about how big of a wretch they are. They keep looking backward on that. Listen, he came to set us free. Yes, you and I bear, as it were, the scars of our past life in this new life of ours. Yes, we battle thoughts. We've got a new heart, but we have to renew our minds. And our bodies are prone to want to go after old appetites. We've got to fight that. We're all in this fight as believers. But the important thing is this, and we covered this at length last time, is that you pursue Christ. You keep going after him. Verse 7 says, "For the Lord God will help me." Now, this is the Messiah speaking. The Lord God will help me. This is Jesus in his humanity. "Therefore, I will not be disgraced." Oh, they may shame me. They may spit on me. They may beat me. I'm not going to be disgraced. Well, anyone else would be disgraced. Unless you're the Messiah. "Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." This is the ministry of the Messiah. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ set his face to go to Jerusalem. It's the same word. Same word. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he told the disciples, "I'm going to go there. I'm going to be crucified." You couldn't stop him. He was going to go to Jerusalem, and a demon couldn't stop him. Nothing could stop him. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was going to go to his death because, listen, he embraced that. He went for that. Listen, the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He went there for you and I. What, you might sarcastically, so to speak, ask, what does Jesus get out of going to the cross? Really? You want to know the answer? You. Now, I don't know how that hits you. I don't know how you process that. Me? Well, that's a bum deal for him. I understand how you feel about that. But I have to say this by faith. It's in the Bible. I don't feel it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But it's biblically accurate that God loves me without merit. He loves me without conditions. He loves me because he's God. He doesn't love me because... No. He loves me because he's God. Listen, are you here tonight and you'd say... You're here tonight and you say, "Nobody loves me." That may be true. But God loves you. He loves you. And so you think by him going to the cross that you are the reward that Jesus gets. You think that's a real bum deal because Jesus wasted his time going to the cross for you. I understand that. And again, maybe at people that know you, they think that too. But no, listen. No matter what is stacked against you, it all goes away. You can't be disgraced. You can't be disgraced when you realize how much God loves you, that Jesus thought you precious enough, worthy enough, valuable enough to go to the cross. Theologically, I know it's true. I just have a hard time, but it's true that if you would have been the only one, if you would have been Adam and or Eve, the two of you, he would have died on the cross for two people to redeem them back to the presence of the Father. That's how valuable you are. He declared it. It's not how you feel. It's what he is. None of us are worthy of that. We just need to zip our lips, put a smile on our face and say, "Thank you, God. I mean, thank you, God. This is amazing, Lord." And then you get up and you live your life in honor of him. It's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but it's easy. It's easy to make the decisions to follow him. It's hard to actually follow him. But it's way easier to do that than to not do that and see how it ends. Oh my goodness. We're almost done, really. We're gonna end. We're gonna really finish this. Fourth thing, how confident are you of your salvation? Verses 8 through 10. How confident of you are you of your salvation? Verse 8, he is near who justifies me. The Messiah is speaking. This is Jesus in his humanity, and he's speaking about the theater, the arena of the cross. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Now listen, everyone. Who will contend with me, the Messiah is saying. Well, everybody's been contending with Jesus, especially since his public ministry began. Do you remember that in Matthew chapter 4? Everybody's been arguing with him. But Jesus, the Messiah, the verbiage here is who will contend with me. I wonder if that brings something to your attention. Romans chapter 8, Paul says it this way. Those of us who are Christ, who's against us? Right, what's against us? Who shall bring any charge against us, against God's elect? You ever heard that before? It's exactly what the Messiah is saying in Isaiah 50, verse 8. A lot of people are going to attack you, Jesus, but it doesn't matter. God is your focal point. A lot of people are going to attack you, Christian. It doesn't matter. God is your focal point. As impossible as it was for Jesus to be removed from the cross by principalities, angels, or powers, or things to come, things past, things present, any created thing, as impossible as it was for Jesus to be removed from the cross, it's as impossible for God's love to be separated from you. Think of that. And Isaiah is echoing what Paul mentions in Romans. It's absolutely awesome. And then he goes on. He continues. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? It's nobody. Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you? He asks another question, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Imagine him speaking that to the nation. That's where it's really going towards, is the nation. But what about you tonight? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who is listening to Jesus? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Absolutely, there's the gospel right there. And then finally, verse 11. What will you do about this stuff regarding who are you in life? God's going to ask you the question, who are you anyway? He was asking that of Israel. Who are you? What are you? What has happened to you? Verse 11, listen to this. Look, behold, open wide the eyes, all you who kindle a fire. This is very, very scary words. Open your eyes, all you who kindle a fire. He's judging them. He's indicting them. Who encircle yourselves with sparks. Imagine a fire going. There's chanting, singing, dancing around. A big like bond-type fire is in picture here. It's a mass gathering of people. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you've kindled. That's what you're doing. You've rejected all these previous 10 verses. You're not listening to the Messiah. You have nothing to do with Jesus. You don't see Bible prophecy in this. You don't see Jesus dying for your sins. But you kindle a fire. You dance around it. Sparks are going up. You're drawn near to it. He says, this you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. It's a picture of false worship. No, that's the indictment on Israel. No, we don't want you. You've done all the stuff for us. We don't see it. We're going to go after these gods. Hey, real quick, you can close your Bibles. We're done. Watch this. This is amazing. You guys, put this up on the screen, the first image. From what Isaiah had said throughout Israel's history, I'm going to walk you back. Many of you have been to this site with us. I got to tell you, when I'm there, I'll say to the tours, this is my favorite spot. But then there's a couple other favorite spots. But this is an amazing place. You guys, this is in northern Israel, up in the area of Dan. And specifically, this is Caesarea Philippi. It's in your Bible, Matthew chapter 16. Anyway, this These temples have been there for, 1,000 plus years, okay? Worship was going on in northern Israel at this location when Isaiah was prophesying in Judah down south. And down in Jerusalem, pagan worship had been going up here because the northern tribe of Israel, those tribes had embraced this pagan worship. Now watch this. You guys see this rock? With all these screens in this tent, it doesn't work. Look to the left of your screens, whatever screens you guys are at. You see that kind of Greek Roman looking building? See the big hole back there? That's a cave. It's still there today. Looks just like that today. Okay? And there's water circulating down inside that cave, natural water. Okay? Right, see where these trees at the bottom of the screen, see where the trees are at? There's water coming out of the ground here, even right now in Israel. Right now, the Jordan River comes out of the ground right here. Crystal clear water. There's trout in this water right here, right about here. It's spectacularly beautiful. See these various worship centers? You see this open air? This one has a roof. This one doesn't have a roof. It's the one in the middle between the two buildings. See people gathered together here? People going into this worship center to the left? People coming over here, getting ready to enter into that location. The worship center in the middle. Over to the far right, it's out of the scene. There's steps going up. Look to the far right. Oh, no, there it is right there. Do you see these people standing here and they're holding out their hands, their offerings? Do you see these? There's four. Looks like there's three. There's four like little goat men looking things, right? That's Pan. You know Pan? The goat body, the man head with the goat body playing the flute. Okay, right behind him, you would go through here, make your offerings, you'd go through there and then up to the top. That was the temple of the nymphs. Have you ever heard of nymphomania? Nymphomaniacs literally comes from that spot right there on earth. That's where I'm not being funny. This was Costco worship center. Everything under one roof, so to speak. And you had no registration, you had no limitation. It was a religious orgy to the extreme. And when you came up here, you would buy down in this region below your screen. All the vendors are here. And funny, because they're still there today. The vendors. They're selling Coca-Cola and Snickers, but they used to sell gods. And you would buy the god, and you would pay them, and you would go into the temple that god was associated with, and you would shout that god's name, Athena, Diana, and then you would go into the practice that Diana wanted, or Athena wanted, or Zeus wanted, and it was very well known what those gods wanted, and you went to the god of your preference. You go to the god that you want to have. All the gods of this world are the gods that approve of what you want to do. You want pornography? Then listen, you go to the temple of the nymphs. You go to the god of pornea. It's where we get the word pornography. Pornea. Porn. Well, that's what I want. Well, then pay your fee and go do it. Well, you maybe you're not into that, or maybe you're done with that. You'd like to move on to the next thing. Well, listen, the temple prostitutes were here. And you could go to this worship center and you buy your gods. And those gods, by the way, when we were in Corinth, you guys saw those images of those gods that have been unearthed. Those gods are actually in certain forms. And you would go do what that god is all about. Do you get the point I'm making tonight? Okay, next picture. This is our tour. Remember that cave I showed you, that big hole, cave? That's right there. There's a big pit down there. Okay. Next slide. You see that? This is thousands of years old. Thousands and thousands of years old. Now, when I was with the tour with you guys, I took my American Express card. Remember that? And I put it up here and I set it right there. And then I stepped back and I gave a message about the things that we trust in. You would take the gods that you wanted to worship and you would put the god in this niche. And then you would go through out in the open. you would go through the acts, and they were very lewd, of what that God, of what that God wanted. The amazing thing about all this stuff is that false worship always condones what your flesh wants to do. Remember that. It's hard to worship as a Christian because our flesh is always warned against our spirit and our minds to do the right thing. You and I worship someone we've never seen. We worship Jesus. We've never met him. We've never seen him. But we love him. It's completely counter. It's the antithesis of what you're seeing here. Everything here was external. Everything here was out and bold and brazen. And it's in this spot, and this is where we end tonight. In fact, you can stand. That's how ended we are. But keep your eyes on the screen. Jesus, can you guys go back to the first picture? First picture? Jesus took the disciples on a vacation. They had a few-day getaway. The Bible says that they went away to rest, and Jesus took the disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and there's a big hill over here on the right side, you guys, and Jesus took the boys there, and they're sitting there, and Jesus said, at this spot, right here, because everyone's shouting, Diana's amazing, Athena's the best, we like Zeus, and Jesus, because they're shouting in their worship, Jesus then says, hey guys, who do you say that I am? Now do you see the picture? Who do you say I am? Some say John the Baptist back from the dead. Some say Jeremiah. Some say, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said that here, right here, Caesarea Philippi, in front of all that stuff. That's why Jesus solicited the disciples' response. Who do you say that I am? And that's the question for you tonight. God's asking you this question. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Because listen, you can't ditch the answer. You got to answer it. You're answering it right now. God knows the answer that's in your head. And you're either bowing to a Jesus that's made up, some Jesus that doesn't exist, or you're bowing to the real true Jesus. But don't miss him. He died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the grave. He's the prophesied Messiah, Savior of the world. And the Bible says that he died for you on the cross and he rose again from the dead. And the Bible also says that he's coming back. And the Bible also says that if you put your trust in him, you'll never be put to shame. Trust him tonight. Give your heart to Christ tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called, Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. You know, Jesus had a mission set in his heart to save us. So the big question is, what will you do now about who you are and where you're going? Can I Ask You a Question? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, when Pastor Jack was asking how confident you are in your salvation, were you able to give an answer? Do you really know without a doubt what it means to be saved? If you still have some questions regarding salvation, we can help. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab there labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab. And when you do, you'll find out what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and you're not listening by accident. The Lord wants you to know who you are in him so you can trust him to lead you on the right path and rely on him in all that you do. And be sure to let us know about your decision for Christ. We'd love to hear it. And if you have any questions or concerns, give us a call, 877-777-2346. It's all right there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or on the Real Life app. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.